dreams are still intact. 3 o'clock on the dot. Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scravey. Looks like the award show is just kicking off. The BBWAA Awards is on the way. Paul Skeens, Jackson Merrill, Jackson Cherio. Those are the three for the rookie of the year in the National League.
And here comes Scraby down the red carpet.
I'm just trying to set the mood, everybody.
With his mother as his date.
Oh, my mom said if I ever go to the Academy Awards and I don't take her, then she's disowning me.
Yeah, I bet.
Got to bring mom to the Academy
Awards. You are kind of a mama's boy, so you should take mom.
My mom thought that I could become an Academy Award winning director. She definitely pushed me in the right direction, guys.
You're on your way.
I'm on my way.
You're on your way, dog. Don't let anybody tell
you. I made those golf videos in the break.
We got a daily gambit where we find out how we did over the weekend on a few bets that went our way. Aztecs in the Gonzaga Zags.
Yeah, 7 tonight. O'clock. Big deal.
Vejas Arena.
Yeah, the new rankings came out today. So Gonzaga moved from number 4 to number 3.
San Diego State.
So that means if we beat them, it's even better.
Yeah.
No, the Aztecs are not in there, but they will be if they beat them. You know, last year, and then last year's last year, the Aztecs have no returning players, and Gonzaga has all returning players. But last year, the Aztecs not only beat them, but beat them by double digits. And it was the first time in like a million years that they lost a home game by double digits.
Yeah. No,
and the Aztecs really put a hurting on them last year. So Brian Dutcher said, the good news is we won last year and it was the greatest thing ever. The bad news is they probably remember that.
Yeah, they
and
know.
We got to be really ready tonight because, like, all the Gonzaga players are back. They remember this game and, they're looking incredible. They've scored over 100 points every game this year, Gonzaga. Or they're averaging over 100 points, I should say. They're just, destroying people. It's early, but
I think these are matchups early that you kind of are measuring sticks, right?
Yes,
I think,
it doesn't hurt the Aztecs no matter what. As long as they don't just get blown out of the arena. And I don't know, who's ever blown the Aztecs out of the Vejas Arena?
It's hard to remember a blowout.
Yeah, not
at
too
any
often,
point.
If at
I think,
all. So.
I think, Gonzaga's played Baylor for sure.
101-63.
They beat up pretty good.
That was ugly. They beat Arizona State, and then they had a third win in there. The Aztecs have only played UCSD and Occidental.
Yeah.
Not exactly the greatest of all lead-ins to the number 3 team in the nation.
You got to guard tonight. And I think to Chris's point, you got to protect against that early push that the Zags are going to have.
Don't let them get in a rhythm.
Exactly.
Don't let them get in a rhythm.
Because that's what they did in last year's matchup really well. They got up in the Zags early, and that kind of set the tone.
Let them know they weren't going to go away all night long.
That's
but they also had Ladie. They also had Trammell. They also had Reese Waters, who's not going to play tonight. They also had Miles Byrd, who's probably not going to play tonight.
Ankle.
And, it's going to be an incredibly tall task for San Diego State tonight. But
looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, it's going to, to me, there's something fun about a no-lose situation,
I agree.
They're supposed to lose. Everyone thinks they're going to lose. How about this? Gonzaga is favored by 11.5 points. It's the last time the Aztecs were underdog like that.
By the way,
on their home court,
Jackson Merrill is in the Padres dugout as we speak with the headset on.
Are they about to announce it this early? This is amazing.
Are they just setting us up
now
with the picture?
I don't know.
It looks like they're interviewing all three guys at one time. Jackson Cherio looks like he's in his home. Paul Skeens.
Did Paul Skeens get a makeover?
Paul Skeens doesn't.
I think he did.
Well, he's grown a little bit of a beard.
Got
Paul
a
Skeens
beard.
Has.
Looked like he had a couple facials from between the end of the season and now.
Jackson Merrill, there he is.
Skin is looking plush.
I think if they announced Paul Skeens as the winner, Jackson Merrill ought to throw his headset down.
This is how you know.
Walk away in disgust.
This is how you know Jackson's from the East Coast originally. I think for all San Diegans right now, it's pretty chilly outside.
Not to Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill has a short sleeve shirt, top button popped.
Yeah.
He's ready.
He's relaxed.
Looking like $1 million.
All right. So we'll keep our eye on that if they happen to announce. Paul Skeens is sitting, it looks like, Paul Skeens looks like he's sitting in the butler cabin at the Masters.
He's got the fireplace.
He's got the fireplace going in the background.
Yeah,
the beard is new. It's interesting.
And what is he?
Paul Skeens is.
He looks like he's in a commercial or something right now.
Well, maybe he already knows he won, and so he's already. I gotta be good for the pictures, guys. Jackson Churio looks like he's in his garage.
He's got to close his blinds at least. That's about all I can say.
We'll keep an eye on it.
All right, let's get to some Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. People are having fun on the chat with the Skeens. Paul Skeens looks like he's in a Men's Fashion Depot commercial.
You know what his background looks like? What was it? The world's greatest man. What's the beer commercial?
Most interesting man in the world.
He kind of has that background with the fireplace. Oh, I see.
The camera's trying to get Libby done. She's trying to get in there. I shouldn't hate Paul Skeens.
Stop hating
Paul,
man.
I know.
He's living his best life.
I'm just defending my guy. So we'll keep an eye on this as we go, but they are still interviewing
everyone right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
Strong neck beard.
First bet we had, Anthony Richardson, over under 177.5 passing yards at the Jets. Chris and I went under. Tony went over. Tony was correct. He had 272 in the game. So he had a really good game. Really, really good game. Colts have always believed in him, never wavered. Eagles on Thursday Night Football, they were 4-point favorites over the FT. Chris took the FT. We took Philly. Philly won by 8, 26-18. So we win
the
that
FT one. Looked really good until Saquon started running on them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Eagles Commanders, 49.5 total points in the game. Chris and I went over. Tony went under. Tony was correct. It was 26-18, 44 points. Also Thursday night, Saquon's rushing yard total or Brian Robinson plus Austin Eckler. Those guys combined for 70 yards. Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler. Saquon had 146. So Tony and I win that one. More passing attempts. Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts. Jaden Daniels had 32. Jalen Hurts had 28, so Chris and I were right on that one. Now, the Dallas Mavericks were 8.5-point favorites at the Utah Jazz. Chris and Tony took Dallas, I took Utah. The Jazz win 115-113, so they win that one outright. Grand Canyon University, the Antelopes, -5.5 at Arizona State. Chris chose ASU. Tony and I chose Grand Canyon. ASU won this thing outright 87-76. So Chris wins that one. Final one, Tampa Bay Lightning -1.5 on the puck line over Winnipeg. We all chose the Jets, Jets. Lightning won 4-1, so we lose that one.
Man, yeah. I won the first four and lost the next four.
Yeah, Winnipeg Jets, after a 15-1 start, lost their last two over the weekend.
That was
a tough trip. They were at Tampa Bay and at Florida. So they need to get back in the cold weather there. Tony won the week, 11-10. Scraby 10-11. I was less than that.
I was last week, right?
I think so. Yeah. So I don't know. Back. I haven't kept official statistics on this, but I know that you won last week. Let's put it that way. All right, here's what we got. They still haven't announced the National League Rookie of the Year.
I don't know if it's happening. Oh, they went to commercial.
They went to a break. They've interviewed all the candidates, so it should be shortly. While they're doing that, we'll do this. Texans -7 at Cowboys. I'll start.
Okay.
And the Cowboys are a mess. But I honestly, there's something about Monday night, America's team.
Cooper Rush?
Referees are going to cheat. I'm going to take Dallas at home +7.
Wow.
I just feel they're going to play better. Tony?
Yeah, I need a big night from Mr. Stroud, so I'm taking the Texans.
Houston -7. Scraby?
I'm going to go with the Texans, too.
Texans -7.
By the way, did you see Jake Paul even paid for the curtains to go up over the sun in Dallas Stadium.
Yeah, that's another thing we have
Jerry
to
Jones
get
is
to.
The only one who doesn't want the curtains.
I didn't get a lot of rest this weekend, but I was able to sleep through the final four rounds of that Jake Paul Tyson fiasco.
Which BetMGM says that Tyson Paul was its most bet combat sport fight in its history.
That just points to us having a problem. That's really what that
Do you guys
to.
Think they should have been allowed to bet on this? Because this is like, it's crazy.
Why would you want to bet on
it? It was an
that?
Officially sanctioned bout. I mean, it was. Tyson's record drops to 50-7, and I hope that it doesn't ever get a chance to drop to 50-8, because, I mean, we were stupid for tuning into that. Poor Mike. I mean, I was rooting for the guy, but after about a half of a round,
it became pretty
done.
Obvious, yeah.
Half of a round, it was over for Tyson. And Jake Paul was just nice not to beat him silly. Sure. All right, Texans, Cowboys, only 41.5 points tonight. They go over or under that, Tony? 41.5. Like 21-21 would be over. I think they're thinking that the Cowboys aren't going to
score
very much.
I think that's exactly what they're thinking. Yes. I will take the over.
You'll stay over. Scrappy?
Nope, I'm taking the under.
Oh, change. After, this is a. I'm using pen, Tony. Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Scrappy?
This is going to be a bad game. I'm going to go under.
Under. All right. I'll fall for the 41 point thing and say they go over. Nico Collins
is back.
More yardage or CeeDee Lamb? More yardage. Lamb has a sore back and Cooper Rush throwing to him.
The old Cooper Rush syndrome.
It sure seems like Nico
Collins. Did
they
have 75 yards passing at least?
They had 49 last week.
Yeah, that's
the Cowboys.
That's crazy.
49 in the game last week. You got to go with Nico Collins, I think, here. Tony, I know you want Nico.
I'm going Nico.
Scrappy, making a sweep, or you always like yourself some CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he's still a hell of a good receiver.
Not with Cooper Rush.
Not here. Not Nico Collins, okay? Joe Mixon, 107.5 yards over under. Receiving plus rushing yards.
Receiving plus rushing.
107.5. Tony? Joe Mixon.
Ooh, receiving plus. I'm saying under.
Under. You want him to save all the yardage for Nico Collins.
That would
that's
be
why.
Nice of him.
All right, Scrabe. Oh, I went out of turn. That's all right. Scrappy.
I'm going to go over.
Over 107. I think he'll go over that as well. I mentioned this already. Gonzaga, an incredible 11.5 over the Aztecs in Viejas Arena. That is, that's oddsmakers really loving Gonzaga. Come on, Dutch. Keep it close. Aztecs. Tony?
Aztecs.
Scrappy?
Aztecs.
Really?
Yes.
Miami Heat -3 at home against the 2-10 Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, rescue us, please. Scrappy, Miami at home. I think Joel's playing tonight.
Sorry, I'm distracted. I think they're about to announce it, but we'll keep on going forward.
We're plugging forward here.
What are the Heat favored by?
Three. Sixers at Miami.
I'll take the Heat.
I'll take Miami as well. Philadelphia is really hurting. Tony?
Philly.
Give one to the Philly?
Yeah.
All right. And who scores more tonight, the Ducks at Dallas or the Sharkies at home against Detroit?
Sharkies.
Ducks and Sharks are two of the worst teams in the NHL record-wise so far. Scrappy, you're first. Who scores more tonight, goals, Sharks or Ducks?
Oof.
Ducks at Dallas, Sharks home to Detroit.
I'm going to go Sharks.
I'm going to go Sharks because the Ducks are not going to score at Dallas. Tony?
Ooh, Ducks.
Really?
Yeah.
You got them.
I'm going opposite.
Not a baby.
Contrarian.
Uh-huh. All right, those are our picks for tonight. Do you want to go to break and take a shot?
No.
You want to keep it here because it seems like they're going to announce it.
Yeah.
But they may drag us for another 20 minutes.
They like to drag.
I do not want to be in a commercial break when this thing happens. Let me text the boss and see what he says.
Oh, wow. You're going to go
Well, they're showing highlights of Jackson Churio now.
Well, they just showed highlights of Merrill, so they're just going
Well, that means they're going to have to show highlights of Skeen still. I mean, this may be another. I don't know. It's okay with me, Scrape. You're the producer of the program.
I say we stay right here.
Because I know people really want to know who wins this award, and I want to too. And you're right. I don't want to be in a commercial break when they announce it.
3:25. We're going to be another 10 minutes without a break here.
Yeah. Scrape.
Rod says go for the break.
Rod. Okay. Well, if Rod says so, then okay. What the hell?
Adam, because we can't hear what's going on. No, so Adam says let's go to break. We'll come back immediately if something happens.
There it is.
So we'll be
more
back.
Gwen and Chris on the other side. Yeah.
All right, we're back. We ought to. Never mind, Scrape. We ought to get Rod to produce this show.
I was going
to
say.
Rod said go to break. We're not going to miss anything, and he was right. We didn't miss anything.
He was.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Carcello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. They are still chit-chatting there on the MLB Network, and they still have not yet announced the National League's Rookie of the Year. So as soon as they do, we will let you in on it. The Padres have had, and they just went to a commercial break on TV. So
I told you they're going to drag us to the deep end.
You guys are right. I'm not going to fight you on that.
We know that we've got some more time. The Padres have had two Rookies of the Year. Anybody?
Benito?
If you can name both of them, you're like a great Padre fan.
Benito's one.
Everybody knows Benito. But does anybody know the
Khalil
other
Khalil Green?
Nope. Khalil Green was awesome back in the day. You're never going to get it.
Go ahead.
Unless you know it. 1976, he shared the award, relief pitcher Butch Metzger.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's it. Butch Metzger, 1976, and Benito, 1987, are the only Padres ever to win Rookie of the Year. The Brewers, who have Jackson Churio in the running, they last won in 2020 with Devin Williams. The Pirates last won with Jason Bay back in 2004,
Bay,
who went on to be a
Padre.
Yes, yeah. After he was with the Pirates, he was a Padre. So the wait continues.
I actually think, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
he was a Padre originally.
I started as a Padre before he was even up for Rookie of the Year.
Traded for in the Giles deal.
Ah.
That sent.
Okay. Very good, Tony.
It was he ended up pitching a bunch of years. Perez?
There's a lot of Perez's. Yes, so I'll just go ahead and agree with you.
Martin?
No.
Yes, you're right. Jason Bay was a Padre for 10 plate appearances. He went 2-for-8 with 2 walks. Jason Bay hit a home run as a Padre before he was traded to the Pirates.
I'm not to check this now. It's going to bother me.
Well, I can look it up here because I'm on the Jason Bay page.
We're getting Oliver Perez.
Yeah, Oliver Perez.
There we go.
Adam on the chat.
Oliver. Shout out to Adam.
Ollie Perez. 2003, Jason Bay, along with Oliver Perez, went to the Pirates. And
BG.
Yes, Mr. Giles. Came to the Padres.
Still got us in commercial break, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're still in commercial break. We're hesitating to go to anything because the second we go to anything else, they're going to announce
this
award.
Pop up.
And we want to be there. Now, the American League Rookie of the Year will also be announced today. Most people think it's going to be Luis Gil of the Yankees who's going to win it. He's in the running with Austin Wells and Colton Cowser of the Orioles. Those are the other American League Rookie of the Year finalist. Rookie of the Year is the one thing that I will say about it, not everybody who is a Rookie of the Year becomes an incredible player.
1,000%.
2020, Seattle Mariners, Kyle Lewis. Where's he? That's only 4 years ago. You know, I mean, a lot of guys become great. Not everybody. Michael Fulmer, 2016, American League, won it. 2013, Will Myers, Tampa Bay, no longer in baseball. Anyway, it's an interesting award in that regard. A lot of guys become stars. A lot of guys don't.
Yeah.
So
it's not a prerequisite for.
No, you don't go right to the Hall of Fame if you win the Rookie of the Year award. No. Sometimes
still got some work to do, I think.
You still have some work to do. Last year's winner were Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles, who's still pretty good, and Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks, who after a slow start, ended up pretty good this year. So
I think it's almost time, guys. Cal Ripken Jr. has joined it now.
Cal Ripken Jr. is there. They got to interview him for five minutes.
I'm assuming he's the guy giving away the award.
They're going to have to talk to Cal for a little while.
Is that the Cal Ripken Award, is it?
I don't know. He was Rookie of the Year.
It's the Jackie Robinson Award, but unfortunately, Jackie was not available today. Cal Ripken did win this in 1982, which I believe was also the debut season of one Tony Gwynn Sr.
Ah, it was.
The National League winner that year was Steve Sachs, second baseman for the Dodgers. I don't know that your dad was eligible until 83, though, his first full season.
And he broke his wrist in that season.
Oh, so he wasn't in the running?
He hadn't. So, yeah, basically he was ineligible in 84 because he had accumulated.
He'd already been in 83 when he. But the 83 winner was Daryl Strawberry, who was a hell of a player
certainly
at the time.
Certainly went on to have a great career.
And yes, so there's a little Tony Gwynn Rookie of the Year history. What was your rookie season, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
That would have been 2006.
2006, you lost out to Florida Marlins shortstop Hanley Ramirez. Yes.
Were you in the final three?
Yeah, I wasn't quite in the final three that year.
Hanley beat you out, man. Darn it.
Hanley as a matter of fact, they didn't do final threes at
no,
that
they
point.
Didn't even do that back in the day.
Hanley Ramirez was
handing it out.
Did he ever reach full potential?
I think
it just happened.
Yes, it did. Livy Dunn
as we
smiling.
Oh, I'm so happy that Livy Dunn got her shot on TV.
Leave
everybody.
Livy Dunn alone. She ain't doing nothing but supporting her man.
This is garbage. Now I'm angry.
You're going to fling something across the studio?
Please don't.
I did just hit my microphone into the computer.
Wow. Not even close.
We told you we had a bad feeling.
23 first place votes for Skeen, 7 second place votes. And it was completely flipped on Jackson Merrill.
Seven
first place votes out of 30. So I guess the ESPN panel was pretty accurate.
Yeah, 23 of the 30 votes went to Skeen. It shouldn't have been that way. That's all. I mean, I think they got it wrong. I do, but 23 people fell for the Fugazi.
They were asleep when Jackson was playing.
They must have been. Jackson Merrill got 7 votes. He was second place on every other ballot. So I guess there's that. Jackson Merrill was not
that.
Any less than second place.
He was a convincing second place.
Yeah, he got no third place votes.
Jackson was a convincing second place. Oh, man. We were prepared for it.
We
so
were.
What can you do?
I mean, I kind of figured when Paul Skeens was dressed like the most interesting man in the world that something was going to happen.
Crackling in the background.
Yeah, in the background. Oh,
I don't think he knew ahead of time. You're such a conspiracy person that you think that they told him that he was going to
dress
win.
Nice,
so
you're
dress nice.
No, I would think so, right? I
mean, no, they wouldn't.
Maybe he
no,
is
they
just
wouldn't.
Thinking positively about his stance.
I'm seeing the chat now, and they're angry at the writers, and I agree because we've been talking about this. All the awards have been voted on by coaches and players, except for the ones that actually matter. They're voted on guys that aren't.
That's not true, and I'll say, but it's not what you're saying is true. But is you kind of
okay?
I think you're not.
I'm emotional.
Yeah, you're very emotional. I think the awards that we have come to care about are all voted by the writers.
Yeah,
all of them.
We told you this when the other ones were announced.
Exactly.
Jackson Merrill won all of those Sporting News and the Player Award and that and the other, but no one's going to remember any of it, unfortunately.
Right.
This is the one that, for whatever reason, matters the most.
Well, it's the one that's been around longer, right? The Players Awards and things of that nature didn't come until much, much later. This is an award that has been presented by the writers as long as it's been around, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, right? Like, it's always been voted on by the writers. So,
Jackie Robinson was the first one to win a Rookie of the Year back in 1941, I believe.
I'm pretty
off the
sure
top of my head.
The player awards didn't start popping off until like 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, this has been nearly 100 years of baseball history.
I'll tell you why. So. I mean, Paul Skeens is the only one with his significant other there. They were just setting it up so that they could promote that Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn.
Oh, my gosh.
They can show her in the shot. It's true. Where's Jackson Merrill's significant other? Not there. I don't know if Jackson Chourio has a significant other.
You know.
Not sitting next to him.
Listen,
Paul Skeens is the only one.
Those are personal choices, Scray. Those couples. Jackson certainly has a girlfriend.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I find it weird.
That's how they chose
to handle
it.
But they only invited one.
Maybe she's busy.
She could be busy.
She has a life of her own, too.
I'll tell you one thing. It'll be, you know, while Scraby just yells and screams willy-nilly and goes nuts here. I think one thing that'll be interesting is to see...
Foskey's looks so uncomfortable up there right now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what seven writers voted for Jackson Merrill.
Let me see if I can find that.
I don't know that we can find that yet, but if you find it, great. Here's my thinking is that the seven who voted for Paul Skeens are probably all in the Western time zone.
I
just don't think...
so interested to see how
I'm
that...
really interested. Now, if this comes out where the Philadelphia writer and the Miami writer and the Washington, D.C. writer went for Merrill, then I'll eat my words.
That's right. A good point.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to be Dodger writer, Rockies writer.
Right. Even if they're not on the West Coast.
Probably both Padre writers, because it's two from each city that vote, right?
Right.
It's two from each city that vote. My guess is it's going to be mostly West Coast.
Colorado.
That's where Merrill's impact was felt.
Yep.
But
Can I tell you what the Pirates tweeted out?
Is this going to make you more angry?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Paul Skeens is inevitable.
Yeah. Kind of was.
They may have been listening to our show the past couple of weeks. Maybe that's why they wanted to go
there. I want to find this vote because that does make a lot of sense. Oh, maybe I should just go to their website. That would be.
I don't know if they'll have it up this quick.
I don't know if they'll release each writer's votes yet. Maybe they'll have it by the end of the day.
Oh,
you know which people voted for who?
Yes.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us when we come back?
We should go to break and hold
let's
everyone.
Let's go to break and let's keep it a cliffhanger for everyone.
I'll never tell you where to find this list.
Let's find out who voted for Jackson Merrill. The seven who did. When we return, more Gwen and Chris.
Well, we have some answers for you guys. Chris and I both surmise that the West Coast would lead the way in the voting. And we're not wrong. The West Coast did lead the way in voting for Jackson Merrill first place votes. But there are a couple surprises. Surprises from the standpoint of people got to watch on the West Coast and still voted differently. Scraby is our in-house dry snitch, and he will give up all of the information of who voted where. Scraby, let's break this down. Let's break this down first in National League West. Because each city, as Chris was explaining earlier, each city that has a team has two voters. And so we'll start with the National League West because that at least starts us in the direction of the West Coast voters who got to watch him pretty consistently.
Yes. So the Arizona voters, Jesse Friedman, Barry Bloom, both voted for Paul Skeens.
How is Barry Bloom an Arizona writer?
That's where he resides.
He lives there. I actually talked to Barry Bloom during the wild card series.
So they both voted Paul Skeens.
Yes.
All right, Bloom, I'm getting you next time.
let's see. Our guy Matt Snyder went with Paul Skeens.
Wait, stay in the West Coast.
Sorry.
Okay, come on, right, man.
We go to L.A. and two writers there, Hiroyuki Minegishi and Johnny Flores Jr. Minegishi chose Jackson Merrill, and Flores Jr. chose Skeens. So
L.A.
there.
Split the vote.
Yes, and if we go now to San Diego, obviously Jeff Sanders and John Maffey both chose Jackson Merrill. Now in San Francisco, you have the Chronicle, Susan Slusser voting for Skeens, and Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area voting for Jackson Merrill.
So they split. Susan Slusser, splits the vote.
Former guest on this show.
Yes.
Probably will not reprise. Sorry, Susan.
But that's
Colorado.
Basically... Kyle Newman and Jack Etkin, both of them voted for Skeens.
They're know-nothings.
So at least from
the... four of the votes that Merrill got were on the West Coast. The other two were in the Midwest, and there was one East Coast voter.
D.C., right?
Who obviously has insomnia.
Scrape.
The guy in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
He was the one East Coast voter.
Who actually stayed awake long enough to see Jackson Merrill play once in a while.
I'm just making sure, because the way they put this is weird. Yeah. Well, there is a Chicago voter, so Midwest voter.
So, yeah, we got Midwest. So two Midwest, one Midwest, no.
Two Midwest, Chicago, Cincinnati, and then one Washington, D.C.
There you have it.
First and everybody else who voted for Paul Skeens. 23 votes for Skeens, 7 for Jackson Merrill. I mean, we can't even complain about it.
No, we can't.
I mean, it was
not even close.
Like, the rest of the country thinks we're just idiots over here and just, like, talking, you know, out of the top of our head. I mean,
yeah,
and out of our blowholes.
Well, at least we're going...
God.
You stopped me in my tracks. At least we're going to be able to talk to Matt Snyder tomorrow. He's coming on at 3:40. We're going to get to the bottom of why he voted for Paul Skeens.
I'm pretty sure when we got off that interview and we kind of talked about it, I felt like his voice was leaning towards Paul Skeens.
Me too.
And then indeed, it was.
You know, I would like to thank everyone who's been fighting the good fight with me since, like, June for this whole thing. I really tried. And everybody really tried.
I really tried.
I put together a great campaign for him. Just didn't work out.
Listen to you, Scrape. Well,
I never felt you had much pull. And now I know.
You have none.
You have none, unfortunately.
Hey, I flipped that Washington voter, and I flipped that Chicago voter.
He's flipping votes now.
He's taking some credit for that.
Now that I have the list of voters, I might be doing some calling next time a Padres player is up for Rookie of the Year.
Are there any other writers that we would recognize who voted? I don't need to hear all 23 who voted for Paul Skeens, but any names jump out at you?
Let's see. Not really.
Okay.
That's all right. Mike Puma, he's a New York Post guy.
Never heard of him.
Jonathan Mayo, we've had him on the show. He voted for Skeens. He's a Pittsburgh guy, though.
He's got to do what he's got to do there.
That's it right there.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit SpiroCuisine.com. All right, we do have a big five that we are going to try to get through. Let's get to it. Here's some traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm not going to lie to everyone. I didn't think we were going to have a Big Five because I kind of hoped that we were celebrating Jackson Merrill winning Rookie of the Year. So it's going to be a little put together, but we'll get to it. Okay. You guys all right?
Yes. I don't know. Are you all right?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying things. I just
want to make sure you're going to be okay.
All right, let's get to the first one. It's Roki Sasaki rumor season, and everyone apparently knows where he is going to go, even if they don't know where he is going to go. Former Major League Baseball pitcher Dallas Keuchel was doing an interview and said that Sasaki to the Dodgers is a done deal. According to Keuchel, he had already heard that Sasaki had a deal in place with the Dodgers. What is unclear, though, is where he heard that, and he only said there had been quote-unquote rumblings about it. Keuchel did go out of his way to say that Sasaki himself did not tell him that, but still said that he would bet on Sasaki going to LA if it was his money. So, Chris, you're up first here. Do you believe Dallas Keuchel?
No, I do not.
You do not?
No, I do not.
Okay, why?
Because I think that AJ's got a couple of tricks up his sleeve.
Okay.
I don't know how you can know this.
You can't.
Even if he ends up with the Dodgers, I still don't believe Dallas Keuchel knows now. Like, I just, you know,
right.
It's fun to say.
Is he saying this?
You might be right, but I don't think you know any. I don't see how you would know. I mean, did Sasaki call Dallas Keuchel out of the blue and say, I've already kind of decided?
No, he said he did not talk to Sasaki.
Well, that's what I mean. So, forget it.
Forget it.
Forget it.
Tony, do you believe Dallas Keuchel?
No. Dallas is, I've started to see him pop up on podcasts, and now he's breaking news. It only leads me to think one thing.
He's trying to find a place in the media world.
He's trying to find a place in the media world. He could very well end up with the Dodgers, as Chris just said, but that does not mean that he somehow got the breaking news. He could just be throwing that out there. By the way, it's not like the worst team to throw out there, and if you're going to guess, right?
Yeah, I'm sure somebody somewhere before the season started said, "I am sure the Dodgers are going to win the World Series."
Fact.
They ended up being correct, but they, right.
they didn't know.
Could not have known
right.
when they said it.
That is true. But I think Tony's sniffing out what Dallas Keuchel's doing, and that's trying to find a job in media, so he's saying things.
Number four.
Clickbait.
When athletes start saying things.
When they start...
They spend their whole career saying nothing.
He never said it to me. I've not talked to anyone in this camp, but I know that it's done deal.
This is what I'm here.
Lots of chatter about Colorado's, the Buffaloes, and their lack of success last year. Now, flip forward, fast forward to now. He's turned the program right around, and he is Coach Prime, and they are now looking at the college football playoff this season. Travis Hunter is up for the Heisman Trophy. Tony, is Coach Prime the coach of the year?
I know this pains you to have to ask this question, Mr. Yes. Hader, but yes. He's certainly at the top, if not the leader for Coach of the Year. A 1-11 program he took over last year. They went 4-8 last year.
Yeah.
Now they're 8-2. They were supposed to they were picked 11th, I believe, in this conference this year.
Yeah, they weren't picked to have a good year.
No. And so you look at what he's been able to do, a lot of criticism for how he went about doing it. Yet it has proven pretty fruitful for the folks in Colorado that are Buffalo fans. So, yes, I do think he is a Coach of the Year candidate. If not, should be the winner of that award.
Is there anyone that looks like Paul Skeens that might win it before he does? I mean, Chris, I get the rest of the show to be bitter, okay? Chris, do you think Coach Prime is the Coach of the Year?
Well, I mean, he's going to have some competition. The Indiana coach has got to be in the running here.
That's a great one.
And I can't remember his name, honestly. Kurt something or other.
We got
Kurt.
We know
Cignetti.
Thank you. Yes. He's not a household name yet. But for Indiana to be 10-0, they've never, ever won 10 games. Ever. They're fifth in the nation. Deion's been remarkable. I'd have to give the Indiana guy the inside track as we speak.
My grandpa would be very happy. He went to Indiana, and he never got to see his football team be good, ever.
Nobody who's ever rooted for Indiana has.
I think that goes for everybody.
So I'm glad for Indiana and their fans.
Number three.
There are 14 first-ballot Hall of Famers that were announced today for the 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Strap in, guys, because I'm going to ask you which guys are first-balloters, okay, in your mind. Carlos Gonzalez, Curtis Granderson, Felix Hernandez, Adam Jones, Ian Kinsler, Russell Martin, Brian McCann, Dustin Pedroia, Hanley Ramirez, Fernando Rodney, CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, Troy Tulowitzki, and Ben Zobrist. Chris, any of those guys first ballot Hall of Famers?
Ichiro.
Okay.
Yeah, you can book that one. I think CeCe will get close, but I think he'll probably be one of those guys that they make him wait a little. The rest of the guys you named are in the Hall of Really Good. I don't know that any of them are in the Hall of Fame.
Felix, did you say Felix Hernandez?
King Felix, yes, thank you. He'd be third on my list, but I think he'll have to wait a little as well.
All right. So
I think Ichiro's the only slam dunk there.
Tony, first ballot Hall of Famers here?
Ichiro. Are the first ballot guys, I think.
So you think CC will be first ballot?
I think he will.
They're not going to wait, make him wait, huh?
He's left-handed. I think there aren't a ton of lefties that have had the kind of success that he has had.
Yeah.
So I think that gives him a leg up. I also think, like you, who was the third one you said?
King Felix.
King Felix and Curtis Granderson, probably two guys that are... All those dudes are really, honestly, Hall of Very Good.
Of course they're very good,
but
yeah.
Those two guys, you know, got an outside shot.
All right. We'll look forward to that over the summer.
Number two.
Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears, is trying to explain away his loss yesterday. And although he does make a great point about the long snapper being interfered with, he did say this after the game. We'll turn the play in because obviously they were on our long snapper. So we'll turn it in and see what the league says from there. But again, we've just got to be firmer in the execution. So my question is, what's the point of turning the play in if nothing can be reversed?
It's like the referee mistakes in the NBA afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, he traveled on this play that won the game for him, but, you know, That's just what it is.
I don't understand what the... But my real question is this. Does this make the Bears look weak?
What?
To turn in the play and say, you know...
Chris?
Yes. I think they look like panty waists.
Panty waists, you
yes.
say.
I've always felt the Bears were kind of headed in that direction. And with Matt Eberflus, I'm pretty sure they've arrived at that status.
I don't understand what the point of saying that is. Like, oh yeah, we're going to turn it in. Like, is that supposed to help you with the media in that moment? Like, are they going to get off your case?
Maybe ownership looks at it and says, hey, at least the guy's paying attention.
He's trying.
And isn't allowing us to be used and, you know, abused by the officials. But I think he's going to be able to take this complaint with him when they fire him in a few weeks.
Yeah, this is his last ditch effort. Tony, did you need to say anything about this? I think you already did, right?
I think I did.
All right.
Number one.
Wait, did I?
No, you really didn't.
I think you did either.
You got everything in on
That's
this
why
one.
When you confirmed, I was like, okay.
I don't think it makes him look weak. I think this is kind of standard practice. Yeah. Maybe he shouldn't have said it, you know, to the media, but he was asked about
it,
I'm sure.
Yeah, just turn it in.
Just say,
turn it in. Just email to Goodell and just say, take a look.
And the NFL has decided.
I'm sure there's like a real process that you have to go through.
The NFL will announce tomorrow. This is the first missed call in the history of the league.
We're going to redo it.
It's never happened before. There's never been a missed call until now. Incredible, yeah. Matt, how you were able to unearth that.
And now we sign you to a lifetime contract.
Yes.
All right, the final one.
Bears win. I'd like to see how that goes over in Green Bay when they find out they actually lost that game.
Their 10-game win streak has come to an end because of a redo.
Yes.
When Braden was leaving the studio, I saw Annie and Nelson's rundown open, and I'm kind of upset that I wasn't the only one to see this story, but this was on Twitter. A friend of this person had a VIP box for the UNLV game over the weekend. They ordered pizza and wings to this VIP box. How much do you think that would cost, guys?
How many pizzas, one pizza, and then one thing of wings.
Delivered from outside to the stadium?
No, like your
VIP. I'm going to say 150.
You were at the actual Allegiant Stadium.
Correct.
And you're in
one
the box.
Large pizza and how many
large
wings?
Pizza and wings?
And or actually, it says wings, but it's actually crispy chicken tenders. All and there's right. probably like...
Yeah, you probably get like eight of them.
$100.
$100? No. Try $653.18. The pizza, and I have...
I was going to say something more exaggerated than Tony, but I would have never got to that.
In your guys' grid, you can see the picture of the pizza and the wings. It looks nearly inedible for $653.
Oh, stop. It does not look inedible.
It doesn't look inedible.
It doesn't look $653.18 worth.
That pizza right there cost $300.
Well, here's the key.
$300 for a pizza rock?
The actual cost was $490, but there's a $112 administrative
charge. And
guess
what? I read into this a little bit more. That doesn't go towards the person's tip. That is just because you were there using their business for food.
So you got to pay for the box and then pay for the service in the box.
And then tip and then pay for a $490 worth of food. You could pick up a Jack in the Box for like $10.
Oh, and if you're an Aztec fan, you had to watch a 41-20 beatdown.
That's why this is the story of the game, Chris, right there.
$300 for a pizza.
Chris versus the fans next.